Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order, and the time is 1:07. Roll call, please.
Congressman Bickhorst.
Here.
Second Speaker Hamilton.
Here.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Whitehorn is absent. Chair Rivard.
Here. Thank you, Clerk. We do have a quorum for the record. Congresswoman Whitehorn did reach out that she'd be absent today. The third item is prayer. And so, Speaker, would you take care of that this afternoon for us, please?
Yes, ma'am. I'll be happy to. Please bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for the opportunity to serve the people in this manner, Lord. Please help us to work together and make good decisions as we move forward. And please be certain to bless all of our children and elders and take care of any worries or needs that they have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Speaker. The next item will be the approval of our minutes, and the minutes are located on the calendar invite. The minutes are dated March 4th. Clerk, on my actual minutes, I have on the approval of minutes on that day was that Speaker Shaw made a motion to approve those as amended and not as presented, but you may want to check on that.
Okay, yeah, I'll look at my notes on that. Thank you.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the minutes dated March 4th, 2025, as amended if needed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you, committee. And the next item is item number 5, which is a report from our budget analyst, Jordan Frazier. And I think Mr. Frazier has sent out his last report to Congress. And so I'll turn it over to you, Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. Pardon me. Good afternoon, committee. At the opening of the 2025 HUNCA session, there is $1.9 million remaining available for appropriation from the general fund. On March 26th, the Gaming Enterprise Board approved a true-up distribution of $2,314,509. This will be added to projected revenue, along with any other changes requested by Treasury, once Treasury submits their documentation. So it appears the new amount available for appropriation will at least be $4.29 million. There are currently about $960,000 in requests for appropriations from the general fund. The budget analyst for Treasury, Ms. Motala, said I'd misinterpreted some of the support documentation, so it'll wind up being a little bit less than that, but I don't believe the difference will be too substantial. If all appropriations were passed in conjunction with the stated increase in projected revenue, there would be about $3.3 million remaining available in the general fund. The retained revenue fund balance currently stands at $1.9 million. Treasury has requested $500,000 of that be appropriated to the health benefit fund, which would reduce the retained revenue fund balance to $1.4 million. There are $200,000 in residual assets available within the capital asset fund. Treasury has requested $17,000 of this be appropriated for pickleball court fence and another $30,000 be appropriated to supplement the funding for construction of the Fairfax Visitor Center. Treasury has also requested amendments to some ARPA budgets with no net impact on the amount of ARPA funds available. Finally, Treasury submitted non-tribal and IDC budget requests, but I'm still working through that support documentation. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Are there any questions at this time regarding Jordan's report? I would like to say that we did meet with the treasurer's office last week, and that was myself, Congressman Big Horse, and our budget analyst, Jordan Frazier, and we had a really productive meeting with Treasury regarding projected revenue, and that was our main concern, as it should be. We are at a six-month mark, second quarter, end of the second quarter for our fiscal year, so with that being said, we're wanting to see if we're on point, if we're hitting our mark on the projected revenue. We talked about the true up. We've talked about the retained revenue at this time. The treasurer is not comfortable sending down a balance until the audit is final, as it should be. And then he'll send his official letter. They're having meetings with I believe tribal development and the secretary to where they're getting good solid balances on our cap asset projects by staying in touch more often and getting better residual balances so that we can address some of our needs through the cap assets revolving fund. And it was a really good productive meeting, I feel. And it's important that we keep that relationship and door open with Treasury. And it was a really good meeting. We appreciate it. If there's not any questions for Jordan, then I'd like to talk about the budget template, if we could, real quick. And I do know, I apologize, we have the pending legislation would be the legislation that Speaker gave to us this morning. Did you give us any appropriations? You did, didn't you? I want to make sure. No, we did not. Okay, so we don't have any pending legislation in appropriations at this time. But I believe we may. Congressman Hamilton, our second speaker, has stepped up. He's going to help with the filing of the bills. I'm going to sponsor the tribal, and he's going to sponsor the non-tribal. And the non-tribal will include the IDC movement and the budget mods, ARPA, and self-governance. And I just want to say thank you for that so we can address a lot of these items on our agenda are items that must be addressed per congressional rules with regards to our committee. And so since we re-caucus at the end of this session, I wanted us to go ahead and start addressing some of those and some of those items stated in law, which leads us into the FY26 budget template. So every year during HUNCA, we approve that. Oh, I'm sorry, Jordan, did you have a comment?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's been sent to the Congress members just a moment ago for their review.
Okay, thank you. So this budget template is just a draft that you'll see that was sent out to you guys at 1:15, but it is our job as a committee to approve that budget template. It's going to look somewhat different than last year. Typically, they would send down a microid document, but it looks as though the treasurer and his team are recommending they use an Excel spreadsheet I think that's the way that it used to be. And I have, if that's their recommendation, I don't have a problem with the template myself, but it is our job to make a motion to approve it. So if there any discussion from the committee regarding the template, we can go through it if you'd like. Speaker.
Thank you, Chair. Motion to approve the budget template for FY26 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed?
Chair.
Yes.
I have a random question about it, if you don't mind. I'm not against it, nor do I dislike the template, but
that's fine. Go ahead, Congresswoman.
So do we have capability in, like, okay, so bear in mind, Treasurer, I'm thinking from a Google Docs mindset or a Google shared drive mindset. With Microsoft and like an Excel product, do we have an ability to share that, even if it's a read-only format? Like if it's, would we have access to some of these budgets? Like, is there a possibility, I guess, with Microsoft? Like if we wanted to go in and pull up one just to look at it rather than calling your office and saying, hey, can you send that down to us? Or if we go pull the bill, I'm just out of curiosity. Like if we're just looking at something or thinking through something, cause like with Google, you would have the ability to share that even if it can't be changed, obviously. But is there anything like that with Microsoft? I know there's not with Microid, but I just wonder if this opens up some more options for us.
I think it is a possibility through Microsoft Teams. I haven't worked with that very much, but Microsoft is going to have something compatible to Google Docs. I don't think it's gotten as big, but they have something. I just don't know what it is.
Okay. Thank you. I just was curious, just because if we ever wanted to pull it up rather than calling him and saying, or pulling the entire bill, I just wondered if that's an option.
Well, also, and I did mention in the discussion, too, that they, you know, reach out to the directors because they're the ones that have to use these templates. And from what I've heard from the directors that I speak to, that they did prefer the Excel more so because they're able to manipulate the data and come up with scenarios on which budget to submit. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like Microy might have been not as user-friendly than it is in Excel, so.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
The main reason for going for this Excel route is to be able to provide Jordan with an Excel file. My hope is to bring down a flash drive so you guys are always able to see what's been appropriated in an Excel document. I'm sure Microsoft Teams will also be a great way to look at it. But the system itself should be used as an import and through an approval process, not for an input process, which is what the directors need to be doing. And so that's kind of going to be the process that we take, allowing directors to be able to input the data into a spreadsheet, and then we're able to import it into Microy and go through an approval process. It's just going to be more cohesive for operations, legislative branch, and for myself.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the next then... Again, I just updated you on the pending legislation. And so there was something that happened on item 8, which is our auditor approval. We cannot find it's cleanup, and I apologize, but we looked at one of our meetings, I think it was in May. I can't remember, maybe Sujo. I'm so sorry. There was Sujo, wasn't it? Well, we had held a meeting to approve the auditor because that's what we're supposed to do in this committee, but Jordan and I could not find where anyone had made a motion. Now, so I'm just being very transparent in that we could not locate in our minutes or on the recording where we had actually made a motion to approve the FY24 auditor, the audit firm. Now, if you recall, it was sent down last minute through the prior acting treasurer. And then our new treasurer comes about. I think there was some discussion about that we were going to keep the same audit firm that we're using right now because we did discuss it. We just didn't make a motion. And it was going to be that after we had the discussion and that this year we would start looking at other firms. And I think you can recall that, but we didn't make a motion. And I haven't talked to Trey about it, but it's something I just wanted to be transparent about, because it's kind of irrelevant now if we made a motion, because that we've already, we have them on, well, they're doing the audit. But we did discuss it, and I just didn't want anyone to question, like, we didn't do an approval officially, but we didn't make an, there was no motion that we could find. Yes, Congresswoman Redcorn?
I don't want to make excuses for the committee, because we absolutely needed to make that motion if it, because the law tells us to. But I think I do remember it being at least the will of this committee and the treasurer to keep so that it's the same auditor. While that doesn't excuse the fact that we didn't do one really important step, I think I would hope that the committee still have the same mindset, that we were all in favor of that. Because I remember having, I do remember the very explicit conversation and treasurer stating too that it wouldn't be wise in the middle of a transition to also change auditors, just so it would help everything continue on. Even though I do also think that this committee had the conversation that we know that industry standard would be to switch auditors because we've been using the same one for quite some time. So we would need to shake that up a little bit, but at the same time, keeping in mind we are in the middle of a transition, we all felt it best to continue. So that's how I perceived the committee. I truly thought that we made that motion, but I suppose we didn't. So.
Thank you. Speaker Shaw?
I'm not sure why we wouldn't have made a motion, because we did have a lengthy discussion about that, but is it because it is required by law? Is it something that you need us to go ahead and do?
Well, I that's why I'm asking the committee. Now, I would never say it's irrelevant. It's what's in the law. But we, in looking backwards, could not find where anyone made a motion, and so I thought we could rectify it now. And I don't know what that motion looks like, but I'm just wanting the committee to be aware.
Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it possible we created a resolution to approve the auditor rather than a motion of the committee?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jordan?
I'll just cite what we found when reviewing everything. So we looked at the Constitution and says the auditor shall be, quote, a certified public accountant approved by the Congress or by a committee of the Congress. And then the congressional rules say, in the section outlining the duties and responsibilities of the Appropriations Committee, quote, approve the auditor for the nation's annual audit as required by the Constitution. So in my understanding, it would need to be the Appropriations Committee that makes the decision per the rules, so it would be a motion of the committee and not a resolution.
Thank you, Jordan, for that clarification. Congressman Bighorse?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the auditors that we discussed in last meeting. I don't recall her name. REDW.
We have a motion. Is there a second? Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Thank you. So, and then that led into our agenda item number 9, and we discussed this during CJO as well. What we're seeing, this is just what I'm seeing, and I may be way off, but we have our general audit, we have our single audit, and then we have all of our outside entities that have an audit, as they should, either by their bylaws or law, like our gaming law. And we talked about this, and I had asked Jordan to get to the committee the cost of each of these auditors for each of our entities, because now I'm wondering, why is it that we don't just do one audit that is approved by this committee, and why can't Treasury just manage the other audits of those other outside entities that end up coming in as a component? So say, for instance, we have our health system now that are doing their own audit. We have our gaming, and we have our LLC. And I think there's other components in there that are rolled into our government-wide, but mostly I'm thinking of cost. Why are we paying so much for everybody to get different audits when it all ends up in our general audit? And why we couldn't, as a committee, approve one auditor to audit our government, including all the entities within? And the reason I say that is because we're growing. It's wonderful. But what happens if, say, the LLC is behind in their audit, okay, then it affects our general audit because we're waiting on their information, or any other entity, just an example. And it just seems that we're growing substantially, and I just felt like, why wouldn't it be more uniformed? And instead of us, well, now even I think the lending institution, I don't know how many other audits. So what I've asked Jordan to do is to work with Treasury to get this information to us, so that we may discuss having a subcommittee out of this committee as an audit committee, a subcommittee. And we talked about it, and it may be something that we don't want to do as a subcommittee because not everybody loves to talk about audits. And if we don't feel like we need a subcommittee, that's fine. But I would just like to bring this topic of discussion up. And I really want to speak to Congresswoman Whitehorn about it as well. But I just feel like we're growing, and but I feel like it's not uniform the way it could be. We could just do better, and I think we could also lessen the cost. Now, in the gaming law, for example, and this is the information we'll get back. In the gaming law, I believe it says the Gaming Commission is charged with choosing the audit firm for the gaming enterprise, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but I believe that's the case. So already we have an outside entity that has different, you know, verbiage around how they get select an auditor. The LLC, that's described, I think, in their bylaws or their articles. Also, I had even talked to the treasurer about this, and I might be reaching out, but it's something I've always wanted to do. I still think we should audit our gross production tax. I mean, that's something I think we should include, that we get a report, and maybe it's something in law. I just want to talk about it, that we say that the state of Oklahoma report back to us where our gross production tax goes. But I don't want to do that without the approval of the Minerals Council. But I'd like to, you know, if we could include that in our audit somewhere, or even to go through the committee to say this is something we'd like to do, then I feel like we should. Speaker Shaw?
Thank you. So on the topic of having the same, a uniform audit that includes all of our entities, this is my personal opinion, I think that gaming and health are too specialized, and it's a different, gaming certainly is a different type of audit and has different requirements from the NIGC. So to me, and this is just initially, we may find that I'm totally wrong. It makes sense to me to have separate audits. I don't know why we would want to include that, because there are different types of everything. Government accounting is different from business accounting and so on. So that's just my initial personal feeling, is why would we do that? I don't think we could save money. I don't see how it would save us any money.
Well, I was wondering, this is what we're just going to look at. So right now I'm just notifying the committee that this is something I'm asking Jordan to get the information so we can look at it. And it may come back that it doesn't. But I don't mean in that we wouldn't audit the health or the gaming. We would audit them the way they need to be based on their industry standards and following, you know, the accounting principles. But I'm saying that we decide who's going to audit them. It's about the approving the auditor. that instead of the Gaming Commission saying this is who's going to audit them, that this committee would say this is the auditors that we choose to audit our health system and our gaming, and that it's uniformed. Speaker Shaw?
Yes, I look forward to more discussion regarding that, but at this time, I would not be in favor of that at all.
You prefer the Gaming Commission to choose the auditors for the gaming?
I do. It's a very specialized type of audit that has nothing to do with governmental accounting or anything. So I think I just don't see a good reason to initiate some type of change, even if we're able to do that by law. I would not be in favor of that now. But looking forward again to more discussion.
Okay. That's exactly why I put it on the agenda, because now if you remember, they're part of our government-wide. And they come back in as a component, and they have to adjust GASB, FASB to come into our audit. So they already have to, they already have to conform to our general audit regardless. It's just that how their auditors are being chosen are through different methods. But how they're audited is not going to be affected.
I think that it will take a good look into any of the gaming laws and regulations surrounding the gaming audit before we move forward with that. What I'm saying is initially, it doesn't, I don't know that I would be in support of that unless there was a good reason to do it.
Okay. And also, if you remember, I think the gaming board was the ones that came to us with this issue initially.
What issue, ma'am?
The auditor selection. That was actually what's prompted this discussion initially, was that the gaming board had reached out to us about the audit, the method of how we select auditors.
And they want us to select the auditor for them?
They had issues at the time with the way that the commission was selecting the auditors, because they hadn't changed in so long. And it was the same audit firm for years, and they had requested that we look at different auditors. And so I thought, well, if we can get some kind of conformity as to when we change auditors and it's more specific, like we know what to expect. They've had the same auditors for a long time, and I believe it was the board that had actually reached out initially.
The Gaming Commission is the regulatory body. To me, and like I said, just my initial thoughts are that it would not be appropriate for us to insert ourselves into that decision. But, you know, like I said, looking forward to discussion.
Congressman Big Horse?
I'm glad we're discussing this, because we don't want to keep auditors too long. And I say that because when I come in as assistant chief, we had an audit group out of Bartlesville, and they were all family. Mom, son, daughter-in-law, and somehow they ended up in our OFPR. So this is something that I really want to stay on top of, to make sure that we're not getting the same people over and over and over, even though it is a luxury because of the historical knowledge. But people tend to get close to one another when there's money dealings, and I just want to void that. Thank you.
And also, if you remember, if we had to wait on an outside entity, say they've extended their audit, then we can't report back what our retained revenue is going to be, because we're waiting on them to submit their audit to Treasury. So I don't know. Treasurer, do you have any comments? And if you prefer not to, you don't have to. It's just you probably in this room know more than all of us about audits. And I think we had discussed this somewhat. I don't know. Is there, do you see any benefit or no benefit to this?
Well, I can tell you this. Like, for those that were on the LLC's meeting last week, they got their 2024 audit completed. Previous years, they had been part of the tribal-wide audit. That was a $60,000 expense that wasn't there last year. So that's just more cost. There was also some, because now it was resolved for the current year, but for the three prior years, they had had a finding because they have been keeping their books on a FASB basis. Which, and this is the truth of the matter. You can keep your books however you want to. You can do it completely wrong every day of the year. But when it comes to that audit, you have to do it right. And they had been following FASB. And we even talked about this a little bit because I kind of tried to dig into the history. Well, why do we do that? And is there a particular reason there's done that? Is there advantages to the board? Because you wouldn't have to go through this conversion process if you just kept the books on a GASB basis. And this year, the Police Department of Money got its own audit. They had their books prepared on a FASB basis. And I will die on this hill. That is wrong. Personally, I think their auditor put his license at risk. I don't think there is any basis. They were trying to say per Treasury Department regulations on the grant, because we're a 501c3, we follow FASB. And I can tell you this, if I was their auditor, I would not have done that report and I would not have signed that report. And there was also an error on the beginning equity because it was $1 million on last year's financial statements. And when their 24 statements had a zero for beginning equity. And I was just told I was wrong. They're independent. They can do what they want. And that's what it is. But for every entity, like health system, when I first came on, they were talking about FASB all the time. And James and I have had a good relationship since we started. We went over, because I actually had our auditors, our DW, do a training on FASB versus GASB. And Place Where Our Money was invited, the LLC was invited, and Health System was invited. Health System attended, it went well, they got everything lined out, they've been keeping their books on a GASB basis. They had to have an independent, they had to have a standalone report this year as required in the BOK loan agreement, which they did. It was completed, everything good. And they attended the training. They were the only entity that attended. The other entities did not attend and went and got their own auditors. So they weren't part of the tribal-wide audit anymore. That's just how it went down. But there can be things about materiality of the component units to the nation on if it becomes a big deal if their books are kept wrong. But they are a component unit of the Osage Nation. That is by their GASB standards that there's various criteria that say whether an entity is a component unit. And one of the ones that almost always apply for us is if the government controls the governing body, which for all of our boards and commissions, you do, because they're appointed and you confirm. So the government controls it. So they are a component unit. There's nothing that will change that. They are going to be a component unit and they will need to be included in the government-wide financial statements as such, or the financial statements would be wrong. We can't just decide to exclude them and make them independent. That is not an option we have. GASB has been very clear on that. So you can't just, you know, create a little utility authority board or whatever. And, you know, and it kind of had to do with, back in the day, more state and local government, but some development authority or utility authority do bonds, and the liability wasn't on the government-wide statements, and people didn't know about it, and the next thing you know, they have to cover this debt that they're legally obligated for, but it wasn't reported. So that's why the component unit, that's why GASB went to, when GASB 34 kicked in early 2000s, because before there weren't government-wide financial statements.
That was a requirement that kicked in with GASB 34 to be more transparent about the overall picture of the government. So it's nothing that we can exclude, but and this is an ongoing, this is a project that I'm literally got going now, is I'm reviewing all, I've made it through the Constitution and the code so far, but I'm compiling all, because no one had a central list of all the laws that applied to Treasury and what I call Treasury adjacent laws, like boards and commissions, you know, the tax commission code, gaming code, things, but things that are related because they involve money. And the truth is we have, I don't know, it seems like we do about 1,000 budgets every month. I know that that's my perception, but there are so many laws, what I call them, well, at-large laws, that say the treasurer will be this, this report will go to Congress on this date, and there's just no central collection of them. And I'm trying to get them, and I just got my membership last week to the Government Finance Officers Association, which is, it's the big one. There's NFOA, which is the Navy one, but this is the big one with all the state and local governments. And I'm looking at model codes that are in existence to see about, and it's something I've been working, that I'm gonna be working on with Lacey Horn under my contract with Navy Advisors, is to look at our treasury laws and to try, some of them have been there for a long time and we just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And on some of this, it's like, it seems like a lot of times I'm not particularly thrilled, Congress isn't particularly thrilled, executive's not particularly thrilled, but we haven't talked about doing anything different than the same thing we've always done. So I really, in all honesty, I wanna flip the entire thing on its head and create an entire system that will, you know, I'll start looking at it and there will be input from executive and input from Congress and anyone that would be effective. But I think we can get to a point where everyone has a lot higher satisfaction level than we have right now. Because right now I think it's very, it's just, to me, it's all over the place. And we need to make it clear, get it updated, and focus on really important things instead of getting caught on some little minute level details like we seem to do.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Congressman.
To what Treasury just spoke to, I attended their audit exit last year, and they were praised in several areas, but I could have swore that towards the end of that meeting, because Galen Crum and that outfit was hung on doing everything in FASB, that REDW told them to switch it over and start going by GASB. I may be wrong, but I could have sworn we had that conversation.
I think you're right, Congressman. I remember that. Well, and that's, again, why I feel, or I truly believe that there's, I don't think it could hurt to have the discussion. And I, again, I've asked Jordan to gather some information so that we can make a good decision. And, I most certainly want to, I only want to do this if it's a benefit to our government. And I feel like that it would be at this point, because again, I'm hearing the same, oh, we're an outside entity. You can't tell us what, we own you. We made you an outside, but well, we own you. We're the owner of these entities. And I can't imagine that an owner, if I were as the owner, that we would just.
That was how we got $17 million in the hole, because they would not listen. They would not take advice about something's going on, something's wrong. You had some congressmen on there saying, no, they're out here. We can't do nothing about it.
Well, and I don't agree with that. I seriously believe that if we have, if they affect our government-wide audit, it affects everything. And I think that Treasurer makes a good point. When you have verbiage in a loan document that says you're going to do certain things, then you need to do them. And it needs to make sure, because these loans are in the name, especially the health, in the name of the nation, for example. Now, they've promised in somewhere in there that they're going to hit so many per visits, projections, right? And somebody needs to be making sure that they're doing so. Should be their board, you know. And but I feel like our treasurer also should have the authority to be able to reach out to these entities to say, listen. And I think he did, especially on the lending institution, like, hey, that balance that was carried over, that wasn't correct. The board missed it. But if we've got more eyes, the better. That's what I'm saying. And so, and then if we come in as a committee, or whomever this committee is going to be after we re-caucus, that says that we are all in agreement and we choose this audit firm to do these things, then I just feel like streamlining would be beneficial. And of course, I would like to hear from these other entities as well. But I feel like if we have loans in these outside entities that are in our name, then we have every right to at least know who they're choosing as an auditor. Just like you said, if we're not looking here in an oversight manner on these auditors, what if they choose somebody they know that we may not agree with? But at least I'm just saying we'll be knowledgeable about and what this looks like. And again, I think the cost is going to could affect us, and it may not. It may be like, hey, here's, we picked this firm, and to add those, it may cost more. But you have better negotiating power if you have one audit firm, I believe.
Chair.
Real quick before I forget, Congresswoman, so this last week you could hear the auditors giving a report to the gaming board. And you go to the LLC, their auditors are giving a report to them. Nobody's given a report to Congress. You know how you get your report on the audit is you have to go to their meeting. And they'll tell you that. I'm like, I'm sorry, but we own you and you need to come here and your auditors need to report to this body. Or at least to our treasurer. I'd like the treasurer to manage that as to who and when things are being reported. Of course, the board should be involved in listening to that audit report, but they could be right here with us using our committee vehicle. Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. So I don't disagree with you, and I don't disagree with Treasurer Batson. I think that there's a place, though, in between, well, and Congresswoman Shaw. I hear all three of this, like these parts and pieces of the story. I think there is a place and a good place for a good, thoughtful conversation about how to adjust our law and these bylaws and things with our and stuff as it pertains to duties of boards, to help navigate some of this and some of the requirements that we ask of those boards to come back and report on things, so that either report to the treasurer or report to us. But I also think there's place to talk about these audits that still leave room for the autonomy that we've given them. So where they would be mandated to choose and, you know, or by law, by design, have to switch up firms however many years, however often is appropriate, and things of that nature, and then law that compels them to come back and report more so than they do, like maybe it's to Congress as a whole or to the committee by a certain day, whatever it is. But I feel like there's a good place to strike a balance in law by putting some things in there that compels everybody to the extent that we can, but then also allows for the autonomy of these units, because we have given them authority and autonomy by design, but also they are still components of the nation. And I feel like there is this is a good start to the conversation, but I feel like there's a lot that can be done that works for everybody's good. in ensuring transparency and ensuring ethical behavior and also meeting loan requirements or any gaming regulations that come up. There's still a place that can be allowed for all of that, where everybody can function within their own laws, especially our entities that have been compacted. You know, they have outside regulations that they've got to answer to. I do feel like there's a place that we can get to, whether it is everybody just participates in one, or the fact that we have a process where everybody gets to decide on their own who they're going to use, but they're still obligated to communicate who they're going to use and then report findings and get it all together in a timely manner. I think that there's a place for all of this. So I hear what Speaker Shaw is saying. I hear what Treasurer is saying, but I do think that there's a place for all of that. But we're going to have to get down into the law and into our boards and commissions and maybe even talk to some of these entities about their bylaws and how they function. And by that, I mean, like this GASB and FASB thing, like I can say those all day long, but I can't tell you what the acronyms actually mean. So I'm just going to be transparent about that. But if it is in the best interest of the nation for them to be behaving in a certain way and utilizing specific standards, but currently as it stands, they have the freedom to ignore that, then we need to change that. If we want them to do something specific as far as their money is concerned, and it is of interest to this nation, then we need to make sure that we're figuring out how to make sure that that happens. Rather, we can sit here all day and say, we prefer you do this. But if nothing is actually obligating them to do that and to work in the best interest of the nation on their accounting principles, as the accounting principles are concerned, well, I feel like that's something, that's where we have to step in. So that's why I say that I feel like there's a place for us in all of this and to come to a good agreement about transparency and how everybody's functioning without just flat saying everybody's going to use this auditor and we're going to decide for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like I there's a place where all of this can be met, where we can come in the middle and everybody's operating in the best interest of the nation. But I do think it's a long, detailed conversation that probably can't happen today.
No, most certainly not. And that's why I thought, well, we can discuss it because we did talk about it last time. And again, I've asked Jordan to at least start gathering us some good information so that we can make a good decision. And because we want to do what's best for the nation, you know, and also our audits are public. They have to be filed on our website through the treasurer's law and that so that we could access it. But there are people, you know, like, well, what was the LLC's audit? What did that look like? You know, what did the health system's audit look like and things of that nature? So we just want to make sure that we're transparent. These are public documents. And but I would love to have had a report. I would have loved to have reviewed all the audits at the same time here all day. That's what I would, instead of having to be, you know, well, if you want to know what happened with our audit, you have to attend our board meeting. Because our audits are, for the first time this year, I believe, are on time, on schedule here. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm very proud of that success. And if we're getting good audits around that, that's something we want to share, that success with our people. So, all right, any other questions or discussion on item 8 or 9, I'm sorry.
And if you look, it's Title 15, Chapter 2, 311E. It gives some authority that the treasurer has over tribal enterprises. And it's very short, and it's not very detailed. But that is the law right now. So,
thank you.
I'm not through all the at-large laws and the specific formation documents for the various component units. But as for the code, there is very little there that addresses the relationship of the treasurer's office and the component units of the tribe. And, you know, I am a tribal member and I worked here from 2000 to 2008, and then again from 2015 to 2020.
And Jeffrey can, he can go back even to some of the economic development activities of the tribal council in the 90s when he was assistant chief. But I think overall, you know, because I always hear people talking about the money the LLCs lost, because I remember there for a while when there were all those meetings about this board, that board, moving this from under that board to under this board. And it's just my opinion that I don't think the component units have ever been, I think they all, I want to get to a deal where they have a standard reports that they turn in to Treasury and Congress, and that they all report basically the same information the same way. You know, obviously there'll be some differences between, you know, there's obvious difference between the health board and the casinos, but there are a lot of similarities. But I think as uniform of reporting package as we could come up with that all the component units could use, I think it would be very advantageous. And, you know, that way we can also compare apples to apples, and we can do ratio analysis and, you know, look at the profit margin, look at, you know, their burn rates, like Brandy talks about. There's a lot of things we could do that it's just not set up that way. And I would like it to be. And I'd like us to look at some performance measurements for all of them on a regular basis. And I literally have a staff member that started doing ratio analysis on them last week.
Mr. Treasurer, whenever you're ready to start moving things like that, let us know and we will help you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes, most certainly. I think it is due time that we look at a lot of those laws. And again, I sometimes just call them cleanup. It's not a big deal. It's not anything. It's just sometimes it's just old or it's outdated and it doesn't even apply. And Treasurer Batson's correct. I mean, when I first, you know, was elected to this body, I got with Jordan. I said, can you create a spreadsheet for me that lists out every required report? There are so many reports that are required by this body from executive and our entities. It's pretty big, but yet no one's looking at them, maybe, or not, and nobody puts them in committee to discuss. So I'm kind of like, well, what's the point? Well, to me, the point was the intent had to be we want to discuss the information in these reports. And so, but I think that if we're going to do them, they could be standardized and maybe tell us a better information. To me, if you're going to, anything that you compile should tell a story. And that's just how I believe. I mean, yeah, I'd like to see a list of all of our capital projects, but I wanted more information in there. Where are we? What's the balance? You know, what is the balance of that? And let's start really talking about it, but we don't. It's just a generalized spreadsheet, and it doesn't need to be out of control. This is about transparency, but also those reports should help us make decisions. So, we're always asking Treasury, let's give us revolving fund balances, but there's nowhere in the law that requires that. But yet we want monthly financials. And then Jordan looks at him and he does a report and it's a very good report and he works with Treasury. Well, Treasury doesn't have to respond to any findings that we may have questions about. They just choose to because we're all working together now. The goal is we got to build back the trust so we can make good decisions. And right now, it's like we're in a bad relationship. There is no trust among any of the entities within our executive and Congress. We've got, you know, we just found some money. How do you just find money? I mean, in my car, I might find some on the floor, but, you know, we got to be better than that. And we have to be like, I would love to know, for me, how much did we receive in federal dollars? How much have we applied for? How much did we get? Our self-governance dollars, that's a whole different non-restricted pot of money that we need to start looking at more so because we can utilize those funds better. But anyway, that's kind of, I just feel like we'll go and we'll be better. We can only get better. Our next item is our projected revenue, and I thought we could just stop there because I kind of updated a little bit with that we had met with Treasury and discussed what I'll be filing an amended resolution. And as soon as you guys receive your distribution from the casino this month, I believe they're going to send that true up separately, maybe. And then at that time, if you notify, then we will all amend the projected revenue to include that true up. And I don't know if the, see, now that the LLC has finished their audit, they should be providing a dividend. I would hope. But see, right now, I could ask the treasurer, how much are we going to get in a dividend from the LLC? And he's like, well, I don't know. Well, they should have already told him.
Last year, they had a projection of, I want to say $600,000. And I think next year is $700,000. And they're supposed to be standing on their own pretty quick.
Speaker Shaw?
Chair, I believe Treasurer Batson was on the Zoom in the LLC meeting just this past Thursday, and they did indicate what the distribution would be, if I remember correctly. Do you recall that, Treasurer?
I do not.
I'm sorry, Speaker, which board?
LLC.
The LLC?
Mm-hmm. They just had a meeting on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Did they? I didn't hear them mention a dividend.
I think it was discussed, but I don't think there was an amount set.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I look forward to that information coming from them. So that's all that I have right now, committee. What I plan to do is to leave the items that we need to discuss. Again, a lot of these items are described in our congressional rules that are the responsibility of our committee. And so I haven't scheduled another meeting. I was waiting on a speaker to put the bills. I honestly thought we'd have all the bills filed. And so as soon as those are filed, then we'll have a better idea as to what comes here. Those are the only discussion I have. If any committee have any other questions at this time? And if not, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say yes. Yes. Any opposed? Okay, we are adjourned. Thanks, committee.